Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A History of the Federal Reserve Book, 1, 1951 to 1969 by Alan H. Meltzer is a scholarly, document-driven institutional history of U.S. central banking in the decades after the Treasury Federal Reserve Accord restored a measure of monetary policy independence. Published as Volume 2, Book 1 of Meltzer's larger project, it examines how the Federal Reserve operated, debated, and justified policy during the 1950s and 1960s, a period often viewed as a bridge between the immediate post-war regime and the later Great Inflation. Meltzer draws heavily on internal Federal Reserve materials such as minutes, memos, and correspondence to reconstruct decision-making from the inside. The book's purpose is not only to narrate events, but to connect policy choices to evolving economic ideas, while highlighting recurring tensions between long-run stability and short-run political demands. The result is a reference work aimed at readers who want a detailed account of how monetary policy and central bank governance actually functioned in practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the post-accord Federal Reserve and the meaning of independence. A central organizing theme is what changed after the 1951 Accord and what did not. Meltzer treats the Accord as a turning point because it reduced the obligation to support Treasury financing at fixed rates, creating space for monetary policy to focus more on inflation and macroeconomic stability. But the book also emphasizes that independence is never absolute. The Federal Reserve still operated within a political system in which Congress, the Treasury, presidents, and senior White House staff could exert pressure, especially when unemployment, growth, or government borrowing costs became salient. By reconstructing internal discussions, Meltzer shows independence as an institutional practice rather than a legal slogan. It depends on leadership choices, communication, and willingness to accept short-term criticism in pursuit of medium-term objectives. This topic matters because it reframes post-war central banking as an ongoing negotiation over roles and responsibilities. The reader sees how policy boundaries were set through meetings, testimony, and interagency conflict, and how those boundaries could be reinforced or eroded by precedents created during moments of stress. Secondly, policymaking mechanics inside the Fed. Meltzer's narrative focuses on how the Federal Reserve made decisions, not just what it decided. He traces the institutional machinery of policy deliberation, the interaction of the Board of Governors and the Federal Open Market Committee, the flow of staff analysis, and the way alternative views were recorded, debated, and sometimes sidelined. The book is particularly valuable for showing that monetary policy is produced by process agenda setting, interpretation of incoming data, assessments of financial market conditions, and judgment about lags and uncertainty. Readers gain an appreciation for how operational tools and market techniques shaped feasible choices, and for how concerns about credibility and market reaction constrained what policymakers believed they could do. The emphasis on internal documents helps clarify why decisions that look straightforward in hindsight were contested in real time. It also highlights how institutional memory and prior episodes influence later choices, creating continuity even when personalities changed. For students of central banking, this topic provides a granular view of governance, coordination, and the limits of technocratic control. Thirdly, inflation, low inflation years, and the buildup of later problems, covering 1951 to 1969. The book examines years often remembered for comparatively moderate inflation relative to the 1970s, while still showing how inflation pressures and expectations became a growing concern by the end of the period. Meltzer analyzes how the Fed interpreted inflation signals, how it weighed employment and growth considerations, and how it judged the risks of being too restrictive versus too accommodative. He links these choices to broader debates about what monetary policy can achieve and how quickly it can affect real activity and prices. Rather than presenting a simple success story, the narrative underscores trade-offs and the temptation to prioritize short-term objectives when political demands intensify. The late 1960s receive attention as a period when policy choices and institutional constraints help set the stage for the inflationary challenges that followed. The value of this topic is its realism. It shows how a central bank can recognize risks yet still struggle to respond decisively, especially when objectives are multiple and the costs of tighter policy are immediate while the benefits are delayed. Fourthly, monetary ideas and the Fed relationship with economic theory. Meltzer consistently connects historical episodes to the intellectual frameworks that influenced policymakers. The book addresses how changing views in macroeconomics and monetary economics informed the way officials thought about inflation, unemployment, interest rates, and the transmission mechanism. It also shows the gap that can open between theory and practice even when an analytical approach is available. Institutions must translate it into operational targets, communication strategies, and concrete actions in financial markets. By following the reasoning recorded in memos and meeting discussions, Meltzer illustrates how concepts were adopted, adapted, or resisted within the Fed. This approach helps readers avoid the mistake of treating policy outcomes as mere reflections of ideology. Instead, the book portrays a learning organization that updated its beliefs in response to events, but also carried forward assumptions and habits that were hard to dislodge. The topic is important because it teaches how economic ideas travel into policy institutions, how they compete with political constraints and institutional incentives, and how that competition shapes real-world outcomes. Lastly, rules, discretion, and the institutional incentives behind policy errors. A recurring lesson in Meltzer's history is that policy failures are often rooted in incentives and governance, not only in forecasting mistakes. He highlights how political pressures can bias decisions toward short-horizon results, and how ambiguity about objectives can make it easier to postpone difficult choices. Within that context, Meltzer argues for the value of more rule-like behavior systematic. Predictable responses that reduce the influence of ad hoc pressures and improve accountability. In the book's framing, rules are not merely mechanical formulas, but institutional commitments that align actions with longer-term goals and make deviations more costly. The discussion also touches the Fed dual role as monetary authority and financial system backstop, where crisis management can create moral hazard if not paired with clear principles. By grounding these themes in mid-century episodes, the book provides historical evidence for debates that continue today about discretion, transparency, and central bank responsibilities. This topic stands out because it converts history into a set of governance insights, showing how institutional design and decision norms can either amplify or dampen the tendency to repeat mistakes. In conclusion, this volume is best suited to economists, historians of policy, central banking practitioners, graduate students, and serious readers who want more than a headline narrative of post-war monetary policy. The main benefit is intellectual clarity. Meltzer shows how the Federal Reserve actually reasoned, argued, and compromised, using internal records to connect decisions to institutional constraints and to the economic ideas circulating at the time. Readers come away better able to interpret modern policy debates about independence, inflation control, and accountability because they can see how similar tensions played out in earlier decades. The book also serves as a reference for the evolution of Federal Reserve governance and for the practical mechanics of policymaking, which are often simplified in general histories. What distinguishes Meltzer's work from many popular accounts is its depth and evidentiary base. Rather than centering on personalities or dramatic crises alone, it emphasizes systems' incentives, procedures, and recurring conflicts between long-run stability and short-run demands. For anyone comparing central bank narratives, this volume stands out for its detailed reconstruction of decision-making and for its sustained effort to draw policy-relevant lessons without treating history as a collection of isolated anecdotes. If you would like to support Alan H. Meltzer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.